Father, we thank you for this day, this wonderful first day of 2017. And Lord, we are thankful that you sustained us in 2016. So, Father, we leave behind all of our what-have-beens and could-have-beens and should-have-beens and our victories, our defeats, our pain, our hurt. And we move into a new year with renewed faith in the one who loves us and gave himself for us, our precious Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Father, I know the warfare this morning. I pray because of the word that you have given me to bring, I pray that nothing would be able to stop the hearts from being open of your sheep or their ears from receiving the truth that I'm going to proclaim. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus right now, if there's anything in this chapel, in the demonic realm, Lord, that would try to hinder this word from going forth, we pray in the name of Jesus right now that it is completely displaced, removed, and gone and vanquished. The only spirit that is welcome is the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, we praise you for that. I thank you, Lord, as we move forward now. Help me to hold nothing back. Bring all things to my remembrance. Lord, we love you. We praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. Amen. Good to have everyone on this New Year's Day. Today is part one of a New Year's message that I bring every year. A new word from the Lord, if you will. 2016, oh, what a year that was. I am thankful, actually, that that year is now gone forever, and I am pressing forward with you into a brand new year with our Savior. Amen? It's wonderful to know that our great God and Savior has carried us through as he would carry his own sons upon the wings of the eagles. Amen? And he's brought us unto this place, this very moment in our lives. You know, the last year's word, you know, Ebenezer, the stone of help, the manifested help of God, the visible help of God would be seen. You know, the Lord now has helped us thus far up to this point, and he will continue to help us in the year that's ahead. Amen? But right now, as 2016 is passed into the night, we now have a new year that is awaiting us. And this morning, if you're visiting with us, you're tuning in live for the first time, we welcome you again. But this word is a specific word for a church called Calvary Chapel. It's a word that can certainly be for all of Christendom, if you will, but this is a specific word for us in 2017. You've heard me say over the last several weeks in 2016 that 2017 would be a make or break year for this church. What I mean by that is not a negative thing, okay? So don't take it that way. But what I want to, this turning point or this deciding moment of incredible truth this morning, what I want to explain to you by make or break is this. It wasn't difficult at all in 2016, the year of God's manifested help, for us to climb into our mitzpah, remember the watchtower, and just be expectantly waiting, knowing that God's hand is going to move. Amen? Knowing that he's going to help us, never leaving us, and never forsaking us. This year, though, it is different. Not that he's not going to help us, but now there is a requirement, a command, if you will, that God is extending unto us, that we must oblige him, if you will. I promise you that everything in hell, everything the power of darkness can throw at you, even your own flesh, my own flesh, is ready to do so and to stop us. But before I get into the New Year's message, which will begin in Luke chapter 11, I want to say three things to this body before we get into the New Year's message. Now, the first thing is this. I tell you this morning in the love of our Lord, not the beating on people or anything like that, but this is a brand new year. Amen? And you know what? I know that you've probably made all these New Year's resolutions. I do not fault you for that. But the truth of the matter is only about 8% of the people that make them keep them. And then after this February, they're gone anyway. Come on. Don't be religious this morning, all right? No, listen. I'm asking every person who's connected to Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth. I'm asking you to be obedient to the Lord in 2017 by doing several things. The first thing is that you would step out of your comfort zone and that you would find a place to serve at this church. Amen? All three of you, I knew this was going to go over good. Let me ask you a question. How is it that, how can a believer be a, turn me up a little bit, Thomas. I'm not getting the right, I need a little bit more to hear. I'm kind of going back and forth in my mind or whatever. Testing, one, two. It's getting close. There you go. Thank you. Isn't that much better? Yes. I should be a sound man. But he's incredible. See how I covered myself. Now listen carefully. How can a believer, how can we be a true living sacrifice unto God, Romans 12:1, how can we really be that and then remain inactive in the body of Christ? You can't be. It doesn't work that way. You have a gift. God wants you to use that gift. He's given you that gift for a specific reason. And you need to step out. 1 Peter 4:10 tells us, it says this, it says, each one has received a gift. It says, minister it one to another. You're stewards of the gift. It doesn't belong to you, it belongs to God, but he let you have it and you're a steward over it. Please, it's not an option, use it. Find a place to serve. Well, Bill, I don't know what to do. Here's it. Here's perfect advice, okay? Step out. Just go, okay, I'm gonna go to the kids' church, but I hate kids, but I'm still gonna go. Listen, if you don't fit in the kids' church, you know what we'll do? We'll go, hey, we love you, man, but you don't fit here. Get out of here, you know? But at least you've stepped out. And we'll say, now go to the youth or something. And you go to the youth and say, I don't like teens. Okay, it'll show up. We'll get you out of there. Don't worry about it. But at least you're stepping out. And finally, you'll all of a sudden you go, golly, I like this part. I like being driving that golf cart around out there and you know, looking at people and making sure nobody, robbers come and steal everything. And that might be your bag. I don't know. But whatever it is, you have to man up in 2017. You can no longer be a spectator here. We need everybody to get on deck and everybody to work. You can go into the kids' church. You don't have to be a teacher. You can just be a helper. Okay? It's time. Now, the second thing is this. I'm asking, I'm not me, the Lord, to be obedient to God by being a giver. Oh, I felt that cool breeze. No, listen, in other words, give unto the God, but do it with the right heart. Do it with the right motivation. You know, listen, never once in the history of this church or the other church that I pastored years before I pastored here, I have never once put pressure on the body of Christ, begging and pleading and say, you've got to give, or we're going to go under and all the rest of. That's never happened. It'll never happen here. The reason I haven't pressured you is because it would rob you of the blessing that God wants to put upon you. Do you understand? Yeah, high-pressured giving, you lose your reward, man. No, the Bible tells us, listen carefully, 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. It's talking about our giving. Here it comes. So let each one, say that with me, each one. That got everybody. Amen. Let each one give, and then he tells us how to give, as he purposes in his heart. In your heart, man. He says, listen, you know, not grudgingly, not out of necessity, you know. Why? For God loves a what? Cheerful giver. That word means a joyful giver. It means someone who gives hilariously. Listen, if it is not a joy for you to give back to God what he's already given unto you, God says, you better just keep it because you know what? You're not going to get a blessing out of it. How can we not give unto God who has given us everything? Amen? And do so with a joyful, joyful heart. I believe that the giving unto God, tithes, offering, I believe that should be a joyous time in the heart of every believer. I mean, a hilarious time. I believe the promises of God. Jesus said, give, in Luke 6:38, give, it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men will give unto. speaking about our resources, what we need. Jesus said, in the same measure that you measure out, it will be measured back to you. We need to be givers. It should be a happy, happy, wonderful time. And so, you know, someone stole my tambourine last year. And someone in the church gave it to me as a present. Yeah. Get used to it. Ah! It's a joyous time. Amen? We should be celebrating. We should be the most joyous people on this planet. Amen? The other thing, before I get into the New Year's message, is be obedient to our Father in heaven, to our Savior, Jesus Christ, by greeting one another. Greeting, greet people out there in the parking. Greet them in the main lobby. Greet them in the small lobby. Greet them in the chapel. Greet them in the cafe. Greet your brothers and your sisters. Every person, every one of you, introvert, extrovert, whatever you might be a greeter. I know what it's like to go to church and for the first time, and you know, you end up on the back row because you're terrified of the people. Well, hey, that's why I sit back there still today. Do you understand? I mean, I don't feel safe until I get from all the way back here. I know the last song. I got to get up here. Now I have this bulletproof pulpit. You know? Yes. Now listen, the Bible says, Philippians 4:21, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:26, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss or a holy hug. How's that? You know, you can handle that part, can't you? In other words, people need you to greet them. Some people walk in here, and I know I don't want to be grumpy. I don't want to leave me alone. I understand that, but bother them anyway. Greet people and go to people that you don't know. Don't just depend on our ushers and greeters. Everyone should be a greeter in this church. Listen, right before Christmas, you know, I'm here. I'm at the church, and I'm working and preparing. And so, you know, I didn't want to go down someplace and have lunch by myself. And so I said, well, I'll just go down to the Subway. So I went down to the Subway down the street, you know, and ordered that, you know, oven roasted chicken on a 9-grain bun, you know, and all the other stuff with it. And so when I was ordering, there was a gentleman in front of me. And he said, as I was ordering, he said, love never fails. And I'm going, he said, I'd recognize that voice anywhere. He said, I listened to your broadcast. I've been listening to your broadcast for years. And he says, I just love your show. And I said, our show or program, whatever it is. And I said, well, thank you so much for listening. And so he gets his whatever it is, the Subway, and I get mine, and he's leaving. And I go over, sit down to a little table, and he says, Pastor Bill? I said, yes, sir. He said, can I sit down and have lunch with you? I said, well, sure you can. Sit down right here. So we started, you know, we prayed over our food and we started talking and so forth. And he said, you don't know me, do you? You don't remember me. And I said, well, son, I said, I guess I don't. He told me his name and his wife's name. And then I said, I remember you by your names because they both had the same name. And I said, I'm so glad you sat down to have lunch with me today. He says, can I tell you something else? I said, sure. He said, you know, my wife and I and my three children went to Calvary Chapel there for 3 months. I said, did you? He said, yeah. And I said, well, why are you not there now? He says, can I tell you? I don't want to hurt your face. You know, I said, you're not going to hurt me. Tell me the truth. I want to know. I want to know why people leave. He said, you know, we came here and for 3 months, not one person ever welcomed us or ever greeted us. And we felt like there was something wrong with us and that we weren't wanted here. You know where they ended up? Right across the street. Every person in this church should be a greeter. When people walk through that door, you don't know the hell that's been going on in their life. They may need a handshake, a hug, tell them your name. They may need you to pray over them. Every person this year must be a greeter in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Now we're getting into the New Year's sermon, okay? There are three words that are going to define who we are and what we do this year in 2017 for this church. The first word is passionate. Say that with me. Passionate. That's a great word. Don't you love passionate people? I mean, you know what I like about, what's his name? Is it DeWitt? What's that catcher's name? For the Cowboys. Whitten, not DeWitt. Sorry. Whitten. Hey, it's the second service. I'm already tired. Listen, that guy, you know what? He is passionate. I mean, and so is Dak. Wah! Huh? And not Ebenezer, Elliot. What's his name? Elliot? No, his first name. What? Ezekiel. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? I mean, these guys, I mean, I get passionate. I mean, I even stood up out of my lazy boy that I'm conformed to that image. I'm going to hold right into it. I said, these guys they're making me passionate, you know? They don't quit. You know, passionate defined means this: strong feelings or a strong belief ruled by intense emotion. Yes. What are you passionate about? Really, what are you passionate about? I mean, there are people, you know, when they stand in line, can you imagine standing in line 24 hours to watch the ball drop? Hello? Or how about this, standing in line all night to get into a store so you can buy whatever it was for Christmas, or getting Cowboy tickets? I mean, I'm not against the Cowboy, but all night long? I mean, you've got to be passionate, man. Do you understand? I mean, what are you really passionate about? There are those today that the Cowboys are playing at noon. Is that correct? You're listening live right now. You're at home because you knew it was at 12 noon. You're in trouble. You understand? No, 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 no. You know, passion. You know, people are so passionate about the iPhone 5, the iPhone 6, the iPhone 7. I guess there's another one, iPhone whatever's coming out. You know what? I feel like I'm a trained lab rat because every time it goes ding, it's like I got to check it. You know what I'm saying? You're not like that, I know. You didn't even bring your cell phone with you today. It's not even on your person. It's unplugged. Probably the battery's dead. You don't even care. No, you might as well just have it hooked to your skin, man. Part of your body. I'm talking about that word passionate. There was a man that loved the Lord with all of his heart. His name was Caleb. Let me tell you about Caleb. The word Caleb in Hebrew, by the way, means dog, okay? In Numbers 14:24, my servant, God says, my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, or literally that means followed God passionately, God says, I'll bring him into the land where he went, and he says, and his descendants shall inherit it. Listen, Caleb was a man who was passionate about following God. He not only inherited Hebron, he drove out. He was the only one who took all of the land and drove out all of the enemy. And do you know how many years he waited for that promise I just quoted to you to come to pass? He waited for 45 long years, and he did so with a passion, knowing that God's word would come to pass in his life. That's what it means to be passionate. Loved one, it says in Psalm 37:34, it says, wait on the Lord. That literally means wait passionately, with a passion on the Lord. Oh Lord, I know you're here. I know you see me. I know that you care. The word passion. Kierkegaard said this about passion. And he said, this age will not die from sin, but from lack of passion. Another scholar writes, today, talking about the church, we are emotionally passionless. We don't sing. We don't dance. We don't even sin with a passion anymore. What a horrible thing to say. There's something about being passionate. You know what I loved about my generation, meaning when I was a young man? Our songs, some of them were terrible, but some of them had passion. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not talking about that yummy, yummy, yummy stuff. I have love in my tummy, all that. That was horrible junk. But man, how about this wild thing? Whoa, you make my heart sing. You make everything. What? Groovy. I think I love you. Amen? No, listen, passion. We have to be a passionate people about God, about following him fully, wanting nothing but him. And when you do, he can be found. Amen? Yeah. The second word that defines who we are this year is the word persistent. The word persistent means, let me read, to continue to do something with intense effort in spite of obstacles, in spite of opposition, in spite of discouragement. Persistent, passionate, persistent. That's who we are going to be in 2017. That word persistent is found in Galatians 6:9 that says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due time or in due season, God's exact perfect time, we shall reap. That's the promise. We shall reap if we do not lose heart, which means if we don't give up, if we don't faint, if we stay persistent no matter what the obstacles may be in our life. You remember Babe Ruth, that famous baseball player? Oh, you know what he said? He said, you just can't beat the person who never gives up. Remember Paul the apostle there on his way to Rome, the Holy Spirit testifying in every city to him through the prophet saying, oh, Paul, listen, chains and tribulations await you, Paul. What did Paul say in Acts 20:24? He said, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. He says, I want to finish my race with joy. I want to fulfill the ministry that Jesus, my Lord, has given unto me. Why? Because he was passionate and he was persistent in what he did for God. Passionate, persistent. And the third word is a great word. The third word is fervent. We know that word very well. It means to burn hotly, if you will. It means to be literally consumed, completely consumed. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:8, he says, above all things, above everything else, listen to what Peter says, have fervent love, and listen to the object of that kind of love, for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Listen, fervent love fulfills the law. Fervent love covers the sins of others. In other words, it doesn't bring it up. Like the prodigal, you run and you love the person. He's coming back or she's coming back into the fold, you know, and you cover them up with the robe and so forth. You cover their shame. Love covers a multitude of sins. That's what love does. Amen? But more than that, Peter said, above all things, and I'll tell you why. Because Jesus, our Lord, said in the last days in Matthew 24:12, it says, and the love of many, meaning the majority, meaning the people in the church in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. Not hot, not fervent, but wax cold. We don't want to be that way, amen? Fervent love. What do we need to do today to create that fervent love? In 2016, in my prayer time this morning, did you pray this morning? Don't say, well, I watched that ball come down, Dylan. You know, I barely got here. Listen, in my prayer time this morning, I was praying to the Lord about 2016. I said, Lord, I did everything I knew to do in my heart to create community where there could be fellowship. You know, And I said, I don't know what to do. And the Lord spoke to my heart this morning. He says, Bill, listen. He said, you know, you can create. There's nothing wrong with creating community for people to fellowship. But people have to want to fellowship. You can open up, have everything, all 100 home fellowships, every kind of ministry known to man. But unless you really want to say, there's my brother, there's my sister, and love them fervently, we're not going to have any fellowship. Yes. Now listen, that fervent love. Colossians 4:12, talking about Epaphras, Paul says, oh, he's one of you, a bondservant of Christ. He greets you always laboring, listen carefully, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand complete and perfect in the will of God. So by now you're going, okay, Bill, are you ever going to get to Luke 11? I mean, what are you doing? Well, really what you're asking is, what is this church? What are we to be persistent and passionate and fervent about? Let me tell you, we are to be persistent and passionate and fervent about the most neglected spiritual privilege and discipline in the church today, in the 21st century, in the American church. And that is something that so many people, they no longer have a prayer altar at home. They no longer have a prayer closet that they go into. They no longer have a quiet time. Listen, this 2017, this is the year of passionate, persistent, fervent prayer. Do you see the flag on the hands? This nation needs your prayers. Amen. It's not the White House. It's God's house that can make the change right now. Listen, listen to me. God hears you when you pray. Does that stir anything in you? Now listen to me. You know I love you, but I am provoking you and I am challenging you this morning. Yes, I am. That's what love really does, doesn't it? I mean, if you don't ever come here for a watered-down message. You don't come here for me to blow smoke. I don't do that. And I don't patty cake either. You understand? No, I'm telling you the truth. This year is vital. This year is make or break. This is the year that we need to pray because God hears us. And listen, that has to become not just, oh, it's information, Bill. No, it has to be revelation in your heart. In other words, not head knowledge. It has to be that heart knowledge. God really hears you when you pray, when you go to him, when you cry out to him. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. God, the creator of everything, says, I hear you. I want to hear from you. My ears are open to my sons. My ears are open to my daughters. What did they cry out in Chronicles and 2 Chronicles 7:14? If my people who are called by my name, meaning us, if they will humble themselves, not exalt themselves. Everything that we do should bring glory to Christ Jesus, not ourselves. Everything that we do, we're here to glorify the Lord, not ourselves. If my people will humble themselves, if they will pray, God says, if they will seek my face, if they will turn from their wicked ways, God says, I will hear. I will hear from heaven. I'll hear my people if they'll do that. And I'll forgive their sins. And then here it is. I will heal their land. That is a universal promise, not just to the children of Israel, but to all of God's people. He said, if my people, and we are the people of God, amen? Oh, and I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. James 4:8, what an incredible promise. God says, draw near to me. Get close to me, and I will draw near to you. Are you doing that? Do you really have a quiet time? I'm not beating you. I'm loving you right now. Do you really, when you go in there to pray, do you say, you know what? God's promises are true. They're really true. God will never lead me astray. I can pray the word of God. He's going to really and truly answer me. He has heard me today when I pray. Do you believe that with your heart? See, that's what it's all about. Are you in Luke chapter 11 yet? Well, if you're not, you're in trouble. Look at verse 5 with me quickly. And Jesus said to them, the disciples there, he says, which of you shall have a friend, meaning a loving friend, and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. And for a friend of mine has come to me on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, oh, listen, don't trouble me. You know, leave me alone. Stop pestering me. The door is locked. The door is already shut. And my children, they're in bed with me right now. I cannot rise and give to you. I'm not going to wake up my whole household because of you. And he says, and Jesus said, I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his what? Persistence. Yet because of his persistence, he's going to rise and give him anything that he wants. Now listen, all that that friend is not God, what God is. Amen? No, not at all. Listen, God's, when you call upon the Lord, it doesn't matter if it's midnight. God's door is never shut. His provision is always there for us. The throne of grace is always open. We can go to the Lord anytime, and he wants us to go to him. Amen? Oh, and I think, God, you're so good. You're never asleep. There is no such thing as midnight with God. Oh, you're troubling me. You're really bothering me. Because of this man's persistence, despite the obstacle, besides him trying to discourage him, he said, nope, I'm going to get what I want. Listen, that's what we need to do. We need to go. It's not that when we go to the Lord, he goes, okay, you got to really beg. That's not what this is talking about. He's saying, I'm not like that person. How much more would I give you whatever you need? Amen? That's what we need to understand here. Look at the incredible promises to those who never give up. These are promises. Look at verse 9. Jesus said, so I say to you, he just told the story. He said, now I say to you, I say to Calvary Chapel, ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks what? Receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Look at verse 11 there with me. It says, for if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then being evil, speaking about us, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Loved one, meaning the Holy Spirit is a gift, okay? Praise God for that. Now listen, ask and seek and knock are in present imperative in the Greek, which means keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. It's something that we should do, which means persistence, which means don't ever give up. Don't ever give up in your prayer time. Don't ever stop. Well, God's not answering my prayer. No, that's what the devil wants you to do. No, listen. You know, Jesus said this. You know, well, let me back up. Do you passionately, no matter what, no matter what you're facing, no matter how deep your hurt, no matter how deep your loneliness, do you passionately believe the promises of our Savior? You see, Jesus told us, he said, listen, it will be given. It will be. That's a promise. You will find. That's a promise. It will be open to you. That is a promise. Whenever you step into the passionate, persistent, fervent praying, that means with all of our hearts, and whenever the asking and the seeking and the knocking is consumed in our hearts, loved one, that never giving up, something happens. The Bible tells us in Colossians 4:2, it says, continue earnestly in prayer, meaning that passionate, persistent, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. That's our attitude. Vigilant means, man, listen, keep awake, stay alert. The door, God's going to open a door. Be expectant. He's the author, the finisher of our faith. Look to him. Now listen. It says in Psalm 55:16, David cries out, as for me, I don't know what everybody else is going to do, but he says, as for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. Now listen carefully. Evening, morning, noon, I will pray. That's not breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Do you understand? That's what I think about when I think of those hours. David says, no. He says, evening, morning, noon, I will pray. I will cry aloud. He shall hear my voice. You know what the problem is today with so many believers? And I say this with love, loved one. We all struggle. I'm not a super saint. I go through the same things that you go through, okay? I know that our flesh is weak and all the rest of it, you know, but the Spirit's willing. Listen. What happens today in the American church is that we give up way before the answer is manifested. And we can't do that anymore. We have to be passionate. We have to be persistent. If God said it, that settles it. Now I expect it. Amen. Even if I have to wait 45 years, I don't care. God can't lie. And we have to trust the Lord. Most people today, they no longer study out, you know, Christianity long ago or whatever. But in our nation, long ago was a man, his name was Daniel Nash. Most people have forgotten that great man. And today he lies in a field, if you will, with a stone grave marker behind a barn in upstate New York where they auction cattle. And it's an unkept place. And so weeds grew all around it and so forth. Let me read to you what was written about this man. It says, this was a man who rose early and went into the woods to pray. It was one of those clear mornings on which it is possible to hear sounds at a great distance. And there Daniel Nash was praying with passion, with persistent passion, with great fervency, it says, and 3/4 of a mile away lived an unconverted man who was suddenly arrested by hearing the voice of prayer. He could distinguish it that it was Nash's voice, and this brought him to such a sense of the reality of religion that he had never before experienced. He experienced absolutely no relief in his being until he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. Can you imagine praying out in the woods on a cold morning and the voice of prayer being carried 3/4 of a mile away and affecting an individual so much that he starts trembling to the point that he falls upon his face and receives Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? That is passionate, persistent, fervent prayer. Amen. That's what God has called us to do. Prayer is the work. And you know what? What good is having a workout room in your home? Or what good is going to the Planet, what's it called? Planet something? Fitness. Planet Fitness. Or LA 24. I don't know what they're called. They work out. They have weights. What good is having a membership? What in one of those facilities? What good is it having the treadmill, the Bowflex, or whatever you have, and you know, in your bedroom or wherever you have it? And there's nothing on it but clothes. I mean, come on. And you have it. If you don't use it, what good is it? But if you start working out, say physically, what happens? Your body starts changing. I mean, you can look in the mirror and go, ooh, look at that. Mm. Do you understand me? This side, there's something wrong with them, man. Do you understand? No. Okay, prayer is work. It's spiritual sweat. It's staying in it despite difficulty. It's staying in prayer no matter what you're facing, no matter what the obstacle is. The devil doesn't want you to pray. God does. God wants you to pray. Oh, for the prayers of this church to be heard in a 3/4 mile radius. Where from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west, where people fall on their faces and say, I don't know what's happening. What is happening to me? And I'll say, I'll tell you what it is. Calvary Chapel is praying passionately, persistently, and fervently. Amen. Oh, listen. You know, gentle prayers, Finney said, accomplish little. And it's also because they cost us so little. Turn to a couple of chapters over to chapter 18 quickly with me. And let's look at something here in chapter 18. Jesus in chapter 18, verse 1, he's speaking now a parable to his disciples. And look what he says, that men always, not sometimes, men always ought to what?
Pray.
Not pray and not lose heart. In other words, that's persistent prayer. Don't give up. Don't become discouraged. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do again. No, why do we pray? Jesus told us to. Men ought always to pray and not faint. Never give up. Persistent faith. Persistent in prayer. James 4:2, ye have not because you ask not. Are you asking? If you're asking, are you receiving? Listen, Jesus told us how to pray. He said that passionate, persistent prayer. Men ought always to pray, but don't you give up. Don't you become discouraged. Don't look at the obstacle. It doesn't mean anything. You can move that obstacle through prayer. Amen? That's what it's all about. Fasting, I'm sorry, fainting, giving up is not going to be an option in 2017 for this church. It's not going to be an option. We're not going to faint. We're going to keep praying until we see the answer manifested. It can be yes, it can be no, it can be wait a while, but we're going to get the answer. Amen? All right, now, look at verse 2, saying there was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God, nor did he regard man. So he didn't keep the great commandment to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, and nor did he love his neighbor as himself. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him. That word in the Greek would mean she kept coming to him, kept coming to him. And then she kept coming to him saying, get justice for me, for my adversary. That's what a judge is supposed to do. And he would not for a while. And again, in the Greek, it means he kept refusing her and kept refusing her. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I don't fear God, I don't regard man, I don't really like anybody, okay? Yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, by her persistence, she wear me out or weary me or literally make me look bad in all of the entire community. Why didn't the widow faint? Why didn't she quit? Because she was passionate. Because she was persistent. She wasn't going to give up. She wasn't going. All of his no's meant nothing to her. Yes. Do you understand? Yes. Nothing to her. She says, I'm going to get that. Listen, Jesus just gave us an example on how we are truly to pray. And prayer, loved one, is really the work. Persistent prayer. Let me read what a scholar wrote one time. He says about persistent prayer, I look at a stone cutter hammering away at a rock 100 times without so much as a crack showing in it. Yet at the 101st blow, the stone splits in two. I know it was not the one blow that did it, but all that had gone before. Being passionate, being persistent in our prayer. Look what the Lord said in verse 6. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And he changes it now. And shall God not avenge his own elect? Elect meaning the chosen ones. We're the chosen of God before the foundation of the world. Who cry. Did you catch that word? No, that means passionate prayer. Who cry out day and night. That means persistent prayer. Over and over. Never quitting. It says out day and night to him. Though he bears long with him. Day and night, continually, contrasted with verse 1, men ought always to pray and not faint, never, ever give up. And Jesus said, I tell you that he will avenge them, meaning our God, speedily. He'll get justice for us. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Meaning that kind of faith. Passionate, persistent, fervent faith in God, in the promises of God. You know, why did Jesus give us that contrast here in this parable? The unjust judge with our Father who is never unjust. You see, our Father in heaven is nothing like that judge. Amen? No, he loves us. He's always here to help us and so forth. How much more will our Heavenly Father answer the continued cry of us? We are his chosen ones. Now look carefully. Go back to verse 8, beginning at nevertheless. Nevertheless, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Here is the answer for us today. The answer for so little praying in the 21st century American church. The answer for so little passionate, persistent, fervent praying today in the church. And what we need to do is keep the question that Jesus just asked in context. You remember that this was a parable. concerned with what he had just covered in chapter 17, okay? 17 and 18 go together. Jesus told them, he said, listen, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They'll be eating, drinking, marrying, and so forth, building and whatnot. Business as usual. I've taught it 1,000 times. How many people were saved then in the days of Noah? Only 8 people. He says, and so it shall be as it in the days of Lot, so shall be in the coming of the Son of Man. How many people were saved, meaning to be believe, in the days of Lot? 3, thank you. That means that when Jesus returns, it could happen today, because I'm telling you what, the church today doesn't have much faith. I'm not being critical. It doesn't take a prophet to recognize those things, does it? The things that are being taught today, dear God. Jesus is saying, when I return, is there really going to be any faith there at all? And the answer is no. Very little faith. Very little faith, Lord. He says, listen, he asked this question for us. Men ought always to pray and not faint. That's for us. Why? For a self-examination. We must ask ourselves today, right now, the first day of this year, we have to ask ourselves a question. What about us? If Jesus appeared to us right now, would he find a faithless people or a faithful people? That's the question. Are we faithful? Listen, I pray in 2017, if he comes back, he's going to find not only a faithful people, but a passionate, persistent, fervent, praying church. Amen? Look at the search. Note the search area. Jesus, the whole world. What was he looking for? He wasn't looking for anybody's ability. He was looking for one thing. He was looking for faith. We are living in the last days. Right this minute. The last days began with the birth of the church. The rapture could occur at any moment. Listen, pray that you are counted worthy to stand on that day with him. There needs to be awakening, a reawakening of prayer, passionate prayer, persistent prayer, fervent prayer in America. The White House is getting ready to be filled with a man, I say this not as a judgment, but as a perfect observation. A man that we believe is now saved, and I pray that he is, but there's a lot of pride still left in him. There's a man in Moscow, his name is Putin, a man that is filled with pride. There's someone over in Assyria, his name is Assad. He's a person that is filled with pride. There's a person in North Korea. He is filled with pride. Are you following me? We live in a world that is consumed with pride, and pride is the character, the first character trait of the wicked one. We must pray for this nation, and we must pray for others as well. That's why, again, the flag is upon the hands there on the screen. It's because we have to be praying for this country. Listen, God, tell you something. How much more is it going to take for the church to wake up? We're so consumed and passionate about so many other things when we need to get our focus back on the Lord, and that's only the Lord. We don't want to be known as the church of the cold love or the church of the discouraged or the church that doesn't pray or the church of the faint-hearted. We don't want that at all. Listen, this widow, man, I look at that. She refused to take no. Why? Because she used one weapon. Passionate, persistent faith. Never once in all of my walk with the Lord has he ever disciplined me, has he ever corrected me for believing his promises too much. Never once. Never, never once. Loved one, listen to me. Prayer without faith is not prayer. No matter how passionate, no matter how persistent, no matter how fervent, it is not prayer without faith. You cannot please God. Hebrews 11:6. It is impossible, absolutely impossible without faith to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen? believing the promises of God. When you walk into your prayer closet, whenever we pray, Lord, you said it. I know it's divine truth. It can never be changed. God's word can never change. Heaven and earth will pass away. Jesus said, my words will never pass away. We can trust the word of God. Matter of fact, Jesus is glorified when we trust the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 21, 21, Jesus said this to the disciples. That remember, he had cursed the fig tree, which represented Israel. There was no fruit upon it. Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and you do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. You mean anything, Bill? He said, whatever, anything, whatsoever you ask. That's what Jesus said. Well, I could use $1 million. Well, like I told the first service, the best way to double your money is to fold it and put it back in your pocket. You know what I'm saying? That's the best way. No, listen, we pray according to the will of God. 1 John 5, 14 and 15, amen? That's how we pray. Listen, Jesus is not saying, okay, I want you to go around cursing fig trees and putting mountains into the sea. What he's saying is this. He says, you can do the impossible when you believe in me. You can do the impossible when you believe my promises. That's what God is saying. Listen, it says Jesus told Martha, remember, about Lazarus, her brother, in John 11, 40. Jesus said unto Martha, Martha, listen, did I not say to you that if you would only believe, that you would see the glory of God. The father who brought the little demon-possessed boy to Jesus, and it was horrible, and Jesus looked at the dad, and he said in Mark 9, 23, he says, listen, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. The words of that truth from the lips of Jesus melted into the heart of that man. May they melt into the heart of this church. James 1, 6, speaking about wisdom. But if you need wisdom, God says, I give you the wisdom, whatever you need. He says, but let him ask in faith without anything doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Unbelief is a great enemy of faith, loved one. And the results are horrible. Oh, when we don't believe. It says, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. For he is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. No, listen. And some of you are saying, now, Bill, you know, listen, can't it just be prayer? Why does it have to be that passionate, persistent, fervent prayer? Why do you have to put all those words with it? Because it's right there in the Word of God. And not only that, we have an enemy. We have an enemy that doesn't want you to pray. We have an enemy that wants to hinder the plans and purposes of God in our lives and in this world and in the lives of the lost. Are you listening to me? No, you go to Daniel chapter 10, study that out. You'll find that when Daniel was praying and fasting and seeking the Lord, the angel appeared unto Daniel and said, Daniel, the moment you pray, the very first day you pray, we heard your prayer. But the Lord has sent me, and here I came, but I was battling the prince of Persia. That wasn't some man. That was a demonic being that was trying to stop the plan, the purposes of God. But here I am. Your prayer has been answered. That's why we should never, ever, ever give up. We know that we are in a battle. Are you following me? That's why it's so hard sometimes to pray. We have to press through in our prayer time, and your flesh will start saying, oh, this is not working. I'm telling you, God is listening. The very first word that comes out of your mouth, you go, that's too much pressure. It's demonic. It's demonic. If you'll say, Lord, I know you're here. I don't walk by what I feel. Oh, Lord, I walk by faith. I trust you. I know that your ears are open to the righteous. Oh, Lord, I'm praying and I know you're here no matter what I'm facing. No matter what's going on, I know that you hear me. Listen. Prayer is part of the armor of the believer from Ephesians 6. We put on all the armor of the God, but we forget one of the most important pieces, and that is prayer. It says in Ephesians 6, 18, talking about our armor, it says, praying always with all prayer, supplication, and the Spirit being watchful to this end with all perseverance, meaning persistence, passionate persistence, and supplication for all the saints. Today, the mantle of passionate, persistent, fervent prayer comes upon this body. On the very first day of the year, you know, the burden of the world. 65 million people have been displaced right now because of the horrible wars in Syria and Aleppo, all the things that's been happening. 65 million people. I think that's more than World War II, if I'm not mistaken. The burden for the world to pray for, the burden for the lost, the burden for the prodigal, where you're broken over it, where there is a breaking in that. We're the most powerful people on this planet. We're the only people that can go to the throne of grace. We're the only people on the planet that God is working through. Amen? We belong to Him. Oh, church, listen. No, we need to be the type of church just like our Lord. He wept over a city called Jerusalem. We need to weep over a city here because there are people here that are perishing, that are going to hell. And there has to be some divine truth that falls from heaven into all of our hearts that says, oh, Lord, I'm breaking. I am breaking for those that are hurting. And some of you are saying, well, Bill, I don't really even know how to pray. Then why don't you do what Jesus said to do? Or the disciples, they came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach me to pray. Lord, this year, the Lord is going to be teaching us to pray. He's going to be teaching us to pray passionately, persistently, fervently. That's the year that God has called us to. Let me go back to Daniel Nash. Daniel Nash was a man that went before Charles Finney. The incredible revival. One man. He would go ahead of Finney and to the town that Finney was going to come to. I remember a story. He was trying to rent a room because that's where he would be praying for before Finney got there. But there was no room in the boarding house. And so he said, ma'am, do you have any place that I can stay? There's no place to stay in this city. She said, I have a cold, damp cellar and it leaks water. He said, I will take it. And he paid her for that. And he went down into that cellar. 3 days later, Finney shows up. And the woman says, are you Mr. Charles Finney? Yes. He said, is this man connected to you? Yes. She said, listen, there's something wrong with him. He has been in that cellar for 3 days and three nights. He has not come out. He has not eaten. He has not had water. He's not had anything. I open the door. He's on his face in agony. And Charles said, oh, he's okay. He's just praying. He's just praying. You see, the burden should be upon us, the light of the world, the salt of the earth, the people who can truly make a change because prayer is indeed the work. Listen, you know how he died, Daniel Nash? May I read it to you? It says, Daniel Nash died upon his knees praying, December 20th, 1831, at the age of 56. His last words were, he says, oh, I am dying for the want of strength to pray. My body is crushed. The world is on me. How can I forbear praying? Shall I tell you how he died, the writer says? He prayed more and he prayed more and he used to take the map of the world before him and he would pray and he would look over the different countries and he would pray for them until one day, as he prayed, he died, and he died upon his knees. You say, Bill, that's just weird. No, that's prayer. That's intercession. That's taking the burden of another and placing it upon yourself, and only the Holy Spirit of God can do that. We don't manufacture that. 2017 is a year of passionate, persistent, fervent prayer. James 5:16. Confess your sins one to another and pray that you be healed. For the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The fervent prayer. Next week we're going to get into what that really means. It means the hand of him who moves the world listens. Today, I believe with all my heart that that mantle is falling upon this church. This is going to be the most incredible year we have ever had. There's going to be a specific day every week set aside. I'm not sure what day that is yet. It'll be after the next Sunday's message, you'll know. And I want to say something very carefully, specifically to you now. Listen carefully. No one in this church, no one in leadership, you are not obligated to come and pray. There's no mandatory, I'm in leadership here, I've got Bill, you're going to make me. No. I only want those people who want to pray to come. Yes. And I want you to come expectant. I will direct the service, but you will do the praying. It's going to be different than probably anything that you've ever seen, because it's not going to be like the standard prayer times that we see in today's churches. But it's going to be passionate, it's going to be persistent, and it is going to be fervent. And we're going to see people healed. We're going to see people delivered. You know, listen, even you now, if you want to send in, say, Bill, I have a prayer request, we have a new email address. It's called prayer@loveneverfail.com. Loveneverfails.com. If you're listening live, we have people that are listening all over America and in different parts of the world. You email me your prayer request at prayer@loveneverfails.com. You'll be prayed for, whatever it is. And what I would like, if you have a prayer, you have a disease in your body, I will know your first name, or if you'll put your whole name on there, because see, we need to know who you are, and we're going to be praying. I had a gentleman come up to me in the first service about my age, maybe a couple of years younger, older, I don't know. And he came up and he says, Bill, you prayed for me of the illness, the disease in my body last year. I'm completely healed of that disease. God is a healer. We are going to pray for the prodigals. We're going to pray for the lost. We're going to pray until we see the manifestation of the answer. Father, we thank you, we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. The year that you have given unto us, we'll not backtrack but move forward. We deny the flesh right now. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that the mantle of passionate, persistent, fervent prayer fall upon this body, touching each and every heart. Lord, we don't love this world. We don't love the things of this world. For if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us, and this world is passing away. But he who doeth the will of God abideth forever. Wake up this church. Let every family, let every single person, let every married person, let every person have a prayer closet in their home, praying daily. Oh God, move upon us. Let our prayers be heard throughout this nation, throughout this state, throughout the world. We're not going to let up. We're not going to give up. We're not going to let discouragement, Father, or any obstacle stand in our way. We are going to pray passionately, persistently, fervently, because we believe your promises. In the mighty name of Jesus, we praise you and give you the glory. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning.